Welcome to the Special Bulletin Review, the secure remote workforce sponsored by Lookout.
Many of the people of the Veterans Affairs Department, doctors, nurses, medical clinicians of all sorts, could not telework during the pandemic. But tens of thousands of administrative and benefits people did have to work from home along with so many other federal employees. For how VA's technology staff handled and is handling the situation, I spoke with the Assistant Secretary for Information and Technology and the CIO, James Jaffer. Let's begin with the operational shift when all of this hit and everyone had to telework. Give us a sense, first of all, of how much of VA is teleworking, because obviously the clinical staff is not, but you've got many, many people in administration, VBA, throughout the agency. Give us a sense of the balance.
Yeah, no, thanks, Tom, and appreciate your time and an opportunity to tell our story today. Certainly back in March, as your question implies, we were facing a pretty uncertain future, as many were, nationwide and worldwide. VA is, as you said, is predominantly an on-premise environment, although we do have a bit of disparity, right? Veterans Benefits Administration does have a big chunk of their workforce that is, telework and remote access posture. They're about 25,000 people. Of the 360,000 in VHA, as you said, they are pretty largely on-site, on-premise, at the medical centers, at the clinics, and so forth, at the various other facilities. Pre-COVID, we had roughly about 56,000 folks enterprise-wide that were accessing remote access. About 40,000 of that was through our virtual private network, or VPN, which, the corollary there is it requires government furnished equipment. About 16,000 were coming in through Citrix Access Gateway. Within the pandemic, this was probably my largest concern, was how are we going to meet the potential demand, right? And we talked with VHA and others, and the estimates ranged widely, but all the way from 250 to maybe, 400,000 people, everyone being in some sort of remote posture or requiring some amount of remote access. We ended up leveling out at about 140,000 was our high watermark. So, about almost triple, about 2.5 times. We did a lot of effort early on in March. One of the interesting things is, for IT folks, is you rarely, if ever, get the opportunity or demand to test in your production environment. So we put our trusted internet connection gateways through a series of stress testing. Essentially, we were pushing all of the traffic on any given day, on any given test day, through one gateway. Because of the 40,000, it was rated for about 35,000 to 40,000. But that, with cooperation and the patience of our business lines, they said, no, we understand you need to test it. We need to do it now so that folks are ready. If we go into some, significant telework, you've got to, stabilize and upgrade the infrastructure. So we worked with our vendors really deliberately. I can't say enough about our vendor partners, both the carriers, but also the infrastructure providers, our folks at the data centers with all the equipment. They got it early on that, in a pandemic, the VA becomes the national healthcare system of record.
Right.
The president signed the National Emergency Declaration on March 13th. That essentially made VA and VHA the national healthcare system of record. And so we had to be on the dot to be able to provide services continuously and to folks that were even not in our entitlement base, i.e.
Sure.
Civilians.
And I wanted to ask you a quick question to follow up on something you said about testing that TIC gateway. There's a big difference,
yeah,
between testing something just for basic functionality, does it work, and testing it as it would be in a overloaded production situation, isn't there?
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is to your point, right? This is pure demand testing, right? And pushing it through the gateway, monitoring the infrastructure to see what was failing, and then coming up with the solutions, to expand it. Working with our vendor, our prime vendor here, their engineering teams and ours, working 7 days a week, really came up with some creative solutions. One was breaking high availability and essentially in the near term doubling capacity. That's not a good long-term solution because it doesn't allow for that necessary redundancy and failover capacity. But, you know, it bought us time in order to get the additional infrastructure, hardware in place at the data centers, at the gateways, you know, to upgrade that capacity. Certainly working with the carriers to double our bandwidth in and out of the facilities as well.
And did you also have to increase the number of government-issued equipment for VPN, or did you push the bigger growth in demand through that access gateway?
Yes. So the enterprise-wide, we're probably at about 60-40 laptop versus desktop. And invariably, some of those functions like the National Cemetery Scheduling Office was all desktop. And there's reasons for that too. There's performance reasons why you'd have desktop versus a laptop. Not everyone can use the laptop. But so we had a disparity like other agencies. You know, we're constantly reevaluating and trying to get people better postured for remote access. So yes, we were buying additional laptops. I can tell you that again, the OEM manufacturers around endpoints were very very engaged with them, but as we saw across the nation, certainly worldwide, there was a high demand and high premium on those devices. So while we're at a really steady state with our supply chain right now, back in March and April, it was more of a trickle. And so we did end up having, for example, folks having to permit folks to take monitors and in some cases even desktops home.
Wow. And what about mobile devices? By that, I mean Android, iOS, as opposed to a portable PC.
Sure. And, you know, our entire enterprise, like any entity, be it commercial, federal, or otherwise, you know, our digital strategy is pushing more and more to mobile access. You know, that's its own conversation, right? But certainly we are provisioning with the help, again, of the manufacturers and the carriers, provisioning additional mobile devices. You know, we didn't talk about, the non-government furnished equipment option, you know, a Citrix, and we're looking at additional options, you know, modernizing that infrastructure. So there's a lot of options out there. We are certainly from a business process standpoint, we are at the beginning of the beginning in terms of mobile access. And I think that's consistent with a lot of, commercial and non-governmental entities as well.
But in the future, do you envision more VPN or other ways besides VPN to be able to sustain it?
Yeah, I think we will certainly need, and again, we're very grateful to Congress for the supplemental funding they provided. We could not have done the expansion that we had to do without that. So we've had a very deliberate strategy of engagement with our committees of jurisdiction and the appropriators. So again, I'm always keen to thank them. That was very much needed. And so part of that too was provisioning the right levels of access. And to your question specifically, we're always going to need to provide a certain amount of both VPN and non-VPN, access into the network. We're working to balance that solution, but more importantly, we're working, and this is consistent with OMB and other federal cloud initiatives. We're working to provision those in some sort of cloud environment. So unlike with the pandemic, I think you had a lot of folks who were scrambling with on-premise environments, and that's a lot harder to scale up and scale down. In the future and even going forward, we are in a much better position to efficiently from a cost standpoint, but also effectively from an infrastructure standpoint, to look at our cloud service providers and scale up and scale down as needed in both environments.
James Jaffer is CIO at the Veterans Affairs Department. We'll be back with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Protecting your organization's mobile devices is more important than ever in today's telework environment. Lookout, the leader in mobile security, delivers modern endpoint security with the most comprehensive protection from device, network, app, and phishing threats without prying into your data. Carahsoft, the trusted government IT solutions provider, partners with Lookout to streamline and optimize distribution. For more security that goes everywhere you go, visit lookout.com.
Welcome back to our interview with James Jaffer, the Chief Information Officer at the Veterans Affairs Department. Our topic is secure support of the remote workforce. And let's talk about cybersecurity. How did the whole cybersecurity piece get altered by all of this? And what's your basic strategy now for securing all of this remote access and remote users and remote application and data access?
Right. As we got into the pandemic in March, you know, there were a number of federal agencies that were kind of the early targets around brute force and denial of service attacks. Again, we've worked with our vendors and avoided a lot of those. Also, in terms of security, as you know, right, that we put a high premium on ensuring our workforce is aware and trained. The human is always, at least time now, going to be the weakest link. And so, you know, our previous efforts around our phishing campaigns and education, we added some additional functionality both in our email and our web services so people could report phishing attempts a lot easier. You know, all of that created a much better security awareness environment with our workforce. I'm really proud of our workforce and how they've responded, because as everyone's experienced, you know, the threat actors are still out there and they're looking to take advantage of the chaos and the pandemic. So I think from a human factor standpoint, our folks performed really, really well, and we'll continue to enable and double down on the education and the other methods to keep them, prime and up front and center in terms of that effort. In terms of the technology, we've got strong multi-factor authentication around our federal access credentials. And, you know, one of the things that we stressed, to the department was we needed to keep those offices open and issuing those credentials so that we could retain that good posture around cybersecurity. So, again, a really, really good partnership, really good team effort to make sure that we were, not compromising on security. And like any federal agency, we get probed and challenged every day. And so that workforce portion is really key.
Yeah. Credential management is a big issue with so many people out. And also when they're accessing not just VA data centers, but also cloud resources, do you have some system for federating the credentials such that each person only has a single credential and therefore it's easier to control what's going on and understand what their behavior is?
Sure, we do. And I'm glad you bring up the point around, some of our, when we look at our architecture, one of the things we do is to limit demand on those TIC gateways, right? Not only increase the capacity, but, look at enterprise services and especially those that we provide via the cloud environment and maybe allow that user for performance reasons to go directly through and not have to choke through one of the four TIC gateways and put demands on those services. And I think, we've gotten a number of questions from the Hill and other elsewhere about that strategy. And the presumption is always that security is less in that sort of architecture. And I would tell you that we've got some pretty compelling use cases to show with our authentication and single authentication, single sign-on, that not only is it not less, in some cases it's more, right? We are not trading off performance and efficiency for less security. We are maintaining both.
Yes, because a lot of times people say that, with VPN access, people try to get around it or whatever because of all this procedure. But do you find that the VPN sign-on versus, say, the access gateway or cloud services, cloud security broker access, is there really that much difference in terms of the user experience?
Well, again, with some of the kind of current day non-GFE access options, I think the security is not less, and in some cases we can make the point that it's more, and certainly the performance is better and the user experience is better. Using some sort of virtual desktop option where you can go direct to your provider around your enterprise email and other services, it's inherently going to be a much better user experience. And again, I think when we in collaboration with our vendors, they have all the incentive in the world, and we work with them daily on this to provide enterprise level and in some cases even better added security.
And a lot of this took place just as VA was increasing the amount of service and care given through partners in the private sector, as that option, you know, is growing for veterans. And so you have that interaction with healthcare providers that could be in a shopping mall, could be in another hospital, could be a private doctor's office. How do you handle all of that? They're almost like trading partners in some sense.
Yes. Yeah, so we, in collaboration with DOD and with as we go live in our new electronic health record, we have gone live with a joint health information exchange, right? And so we are every week we are bringing on additional providers in that community care network that you're referring to, so that we're able to exchange the information. So, for example, if I go to an urgent care center and as a veteran and get a COVID test, and those results are populated, you know, within a matter of hours, my clinician within the VA system can pull up the results for that, right? I mean, that's the whole notion of the VHA strategy of care anywhere to anywhere and from anywhere, right? So that example shows, you know how we're able to efficiently and effectively bring all of those tests and resources back into the individual record and really let the entire network, see those results, in real time.
And of course, there is also veterans access to VA systems for telehealth and so on, and for My Healthy Vet and checking out all of those accounts. And just because the general background right now is much heightened in terms of cybersecurity threats and people stealing identities because of all the federal programs out there, the general atmosphere seems to be a little bit worse. What did you do to make sure that remote access by the clients, the constituents, stayed secure, but yet didn't block everybody out?
Right. Yeah. And as you mentioned, My Healthy Vet and some of the other resources that the, and I'm a patient within VHA, so I certainly use it. And when we look at those, we've got, we've got a variety of authentication means around there. We are continuously looking at our consolidation around, fewer and fewer access credentials. But then again, we have to be mindful that we have a pretty diverse population of veterans that receive care. And so, we want to make sure that, when we look at some of the options out there for authentication and access, that we're not doing kind of a self-imposed denial of service. But at the same time, also protecting, the access to that information. And again, that's where the human is the in many cases the weakest link in the loop, and folks can get spoofed even around strong credentials. The threat actors are very creative; they continue to maneuver, and so it's really key that every veteran, myself included, that we guard those access means very carefully, and you're very diligent to look for those phishing attempts, even around trying to compromise a strong credential set.
James Jaffer is CIO at the Veterans Affairs Department. We'll be back with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Protecting your organization's mobile devices is more important than ever in today's telework environment. Lookout, the leader in mobile security, delivers modern endpoint security with the most comprehensive protection from device, network, app, and phishing threats without prying into your data. Carahsoft, the trusted government IT solutions provider, partners with Lookout to streamline and optimize distribution. For more security that goes everywhere you go, visit lookout.com.
Welcome back to our third and final segment of our interview with James Jaffer, Chief Information Officer at the Veterans Affairs Department. We are discussing secure support of the remote workforce. And maybe describe what kind of data gathering you do, log data, activity data, lateral movement data of people on VA networks to analyze and try to understand behaviors and maybe head off cybersecurity concerns before they happen.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, in our network, we've got over 400,000 users. We've got over 100,000 medical devices, just a host of log data. As you said, we're using, commercial grade and commercial sector quality vendors to help us aggregate and analyze that data in real time. Our cybersecurity operations center has all of the tuning and alerts, and we do all the red teaming and the stuff that, probably more than the average agency, to make sure that we're, constantly assessing the environment. Certainly, as you said, plenty of tools and resources being applied to look for folks that want to gain access and lateral through the network and you know, increase their access and, you know, people that are nefarious actors. So, you know, knock on wood, right? You know, good posture right now. We're constantly upgrading those efforts just to make sure that, you know, we're protecting the data of over 9.5 million veterans.
And I wanted to make sure we fully understand your plans going forward for remote access, because probably it won't fall back to the levels that it was before the pandemic, even though it may not stay at the peak levels during the pandemic, but it's going to be more. And so you're pursuing right. a combination of VPN capacity and non-VPN means?
Yeah. Yes. And then we're, you know, we're putting that in an environment in a fully cloud scalable environment, and so that you know, we can scale up and scale down really rapidly, right? I think, you know, when you look at the cloud service providers and you know, the demands that have been placed on them, you know, they're one of the success stories in this pandemic. And you know, when I talk to my fellow CIOs both in the government and in commercial sector, I think there's broad and wide recognition that, you know, not only have IT offices enabled a continuity of business that probably even 10 years ago we wouldn't have been capable of sustaining, but then, you know, the CIOs will look at their efforts with their cloud service provider vendors, and they have found that they were responsive. And if anything, we're going to invest more. You know, VA already had a strong strategy about 2 years down the road where we've been moving select applications and systems into the cloud environment for better performance and other reasons to balance our portfolio. Certainly for those applications and systems that remote access and the remote workforce will depend upon, they will get even a higher priority here in the near term and have been.
And with respect to BYOD, we touched on that briefly, but you kind of have experience with that because of the access by the veterans, which are not employees, so but they are people bringing their own devices in a wide range of them to access. Do you see this something as growing for the employee base?
I do, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about kind of our digital strategy a little bit, right? Because you know, when you look at where we are expanding, and you know, I even have to remind our own folks sometimes, you know, there's a reason we're called the Office of Information and Technology, not the Office of Information Technology. So our digital experience product office, you know, led by our CTO, Mr. Charles Worthington, they've really been a hero of the pandemic as well. So they've developed a lot of tools all the way from VetText, you know, for individual veteran patients to report into a medical center and keep socially distancing, to the continuous expansion around va.gov, around a whole host of kind of what we call front door services around benefits and healthcare. You know, we launched a COVID-19 chatbot early on. You know, and these were all things that some of these applications that I'm talking about were literally from concept to MVP, minimum viable product deployment, within 12 to 14 days, right? This is the speed and the agility with which commercial sector entities operate, and you're seeing it in the federal government. I really think it's something to take notice of.
James Jaffer is Assistant Secretary for Information and Technology and the CIO at the Veterans Affairs Department. To hear this interview again or share it, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to the special bulletin review, The Secure Remote Workforce, sponsored by Lookout on Federal News Network.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network. Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.